take the downhill, we will get, generate, you see, or create more momentum, better word. And you would get airborne, go down the hill, say. But one big snag, the reservoir was right in front of me. My father knew what was going on. But the little hut we had and the bits and pieces of our, or his, not mine, to make that perfectly clear, all his idea, not mine, I'm really doing right too. And they're all stored in this here. And I think that the work was progressing at quite a fast
pace.
Because my father, anyway, the little hut and all those in it was burnt.
Oh,
yes.
Terrible.
Now, we thought a thought that my father burnt it. Now, he never denied, he never admitted that he burnt it. I don't know what this be, but he didn't. But it got burnt. And his aeroplane came to me. Now, that was 1911, the year Jack Nicholson was born, that the first aeroplane flew over from Dublin. Now, there was never an aeroplane crossed water before that. That aeroplane was brought to Douglas by boat and assembled on the Douglas foreshore and flew to Ramsey all along that. But now then, only sometime this past year I saw in one of the papers the picture of a man flying across the English Channel, peddling, and he was peddling like the very devil in there, and the
propeller,
and the propeller, the propeller was, he was driving the propeller at sufficient speed, or momentum if you like, for to keep him airborne. It was a bit slow going, but he got across. Now, my brother couldn't have done that in 1911.
He had the right idea.
He had the right idea.
Yes, he had the idea.
Oh, be God, he had the idea. And it lay dormant all through the year. He was a great joker. He was hard to do with.
That's a wonderful story. I should stop now. I'm keeping you all too late.
Well, it seemed ridiculous in a way. And I see
in 1910 or 11. It wasn't the first flight was 19.
Oh, and the Wright brothers?
Right.
I think it was around there. I'm not sure.
But in 1910, he was well ahead of them. He was in the forefront.
He had the idea.
Yes, he was.
And going back a little further than that, when the two of us, I was the first to take the theory, and he was the second. And we were nursed and cared for in the parlor end. The old meeting of the dwelling house. My mother was with us day and night, or when he killed her something of an afternoon. She got somebody to come to help her and say, take a night from her that she could get some sleep. She would go to bed.
most killed in the war.
I remember him trying to weld the engine. It was made of the tin, out of syrup tin, old syrup tin. They're a big sheet of tin. He made the shape of the engine, following the wheels or something. Put a belt onto the engine, onto the metal. All these probably nails in shape for excellent bearing. My sister was fetching bits from outside the window in the sill. We weren't allowed to come in contact.
I see.
We were getting this out of the bits of that shoot come off. He made the engine all right to look at, but he, eventually, of course, he couldn't get up steam. And he hid it all there, the firebox and everything. And it fell to my, and then we came the big day, start thrashing, if you like to call it. And the little handle on the side of the engine, I remember it quite well. That was my job, to turn the engine, but to drive the belt that was going to drive the mill.
Yeah.
And my sister was fetching bits of grass to us, see, and he was outside the window. And we were I was turning like the devil. He was feeding the grass down in the drum, and it was coming out the other end on the shaker.
Over the walker.
On the shaker. Yes, yeah. he had it all.
Oh,
he had the thing all right.
Must have been a great moment when it started working.
When it started working. he was really good.
Did you have any mechanical ability yourself?
No, not really.
You just motored horses?
I could, it was very limited, you could say. It was although I could do blacksmith work, though. I chew horses and weld on the fire. I know nothing about electricity. I couldn't, the first thing, I can weld with open fire.
You weld with the old forge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you have a forge on your farm?
Yes. It's still up there. Neighbors will be coming around here and shoot the horses for them. Looks like that. Two stupid. You would know weakness of those like that.
When did you get electricity from your farm?
30 years ago. The pole was just there where you got it.
Oh, I was there.
Tell Max about Juno Quine and cutting the grass. Juno,
well, we'll have a go.
Juno Quine.
this old Quine, this fellow that came to stop the flood, well, his father was smart then. He was very friendly with my parents. And we would come down from the top to Enomona, where we was our homestead. We sit by the fire at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, 1 o'clock. Tell me. Some of those yarns were frightened of the military.
Did you hear Stan Lane?
And so I've forgotten. And many a time we would be sent off to bed, you see, at 9 o'clock or so. And I was sleeping, so brother and me were sleeping, called fire. But anyway, there's what, well, you're talking about these things. I told this this very story that I'm telling you now. In the Manx Museum, I fought Israel, Bushman,
yeah,
in 1940. Mother and myself was down there demonstrating how to make what we call Sagan, what the Scotch people call Sugan. What you would call it. But it's a rope made of straw.
Yes.
And this is the story. John, old John Quine, that's the fellow that was going to stop. His father, old John Quine, sitting by the fire in the Enomona kitchen, told the part, and I heard it word for word, that they were up in a certain field, enjoy the field, on Connery. They were up there, came in person. I don't know if it was one or two, but I don't know who they were. Cutting scrass. Scrass is a bit of sod with grass growing on it. And the sod, a little bit of sod about so deep, but then, say, about that deep. And then the grass. And they were about that wide. And I was going to say as long as you like, but within reason.
They were old.
And cut it so wide. And then you had a purpose-shaped speed, but you cut in when you had cut it as long as the distance you decided on. You stand at the end and would roll it one over the other, and you had it every 4 meters. That was in turn spread from its inner. It, that in turn was spread up the roof of the house on top of some bits of sticks and branches of wood or whatever you could get, and then coated with thatch.
This is the foundation of the thatch.
And while they were in the process of cutting these grass, there was a little chap. They were always supposed to be small. A little chap appeared. What are you doing? No. Who are you getting the grass for? He asked. No.
Ask John.
The old man who was telling the story. He was there. Who are you getting the grass for? Junior Quine. Because his grandfather wasn't John, not Johnny. He was Junior. That's nice for John. Or Junior Quine. Do you know him? Oh, you've heard him. Many a game of trap stick we've had here.
Trap stick?
Trap stick. I'll bet you anything at all that you'll not find one more mile of man can mention trap stick on himself.
I don't think it was the trap stick you said.
Now wait a minute.
It's a trap stick.
Wait a minute. Don't try to put me in the top. Many a game of trap stick we've had here. See? Well, superstition was rooted at that time. So whatever scratch they had in or on the cat, the movement disappeared. They set off for home too. Time to get out of here, sort of thing. So they went home and they met the old man, that's the old father again, Junior, old Junior. And they told him what to do. He came out of. Which they did. Now then, I told that story in the museum 40 years ago, and I have been quiet and asked many times in the hope that I might find out what was trap stick. But I have failed. I cannot find, get an inkling of what trap stick is. Now, Mother, can you tell us what it is?
Tap stick. I've heard me grandfather talk about it many a time. Tap stick.
T-A-P.
Yes,
tap. Yeah. It's part of a, you know, there used to be wooden barrels with orange barrels with the wood hoops on them.
Yes.
Well, a certain length of that cut, and then it had turned up like this, you see. And you hit the end and seen how far you could
flip it.
Spring.
That was called tapstick.
Tapstick. Well,
that was a game.
Yes.
You could be right. I don't know.
Yes.
But me as a youngster and all, and trap stick was the word as we heard it.
As
I
you
heard
thought
it.
You heard it.
It could have been tap. It's a possibility.
I've heard him talk, when your grandfather talk about tapstick.
Did you want to see fairies? Did you want to see some fairies?
I want to make it abundantly clear. I have never saw a fairy.
Yeah.
have never, in my nearly 90 years, saw anything that I couldn't put an explanation to. Well, now,
what's that, John?
Well, now, here we got the this one's father could tell you things that took that,
very scary.
You won't know where these two farms are. We know them very well. And our father was working on one farm up by the thing.
John Collis Politics. John Collis
Politics. And he was working there. He was there at Harshie Philip, a young chap in his old young family, who in turn was found for old Maxine. Father Maxine was the name. Well, the distance from one band to the other would be minimum of 3 miles, probably more.
I knew it was up Bald Axis somewhere.
It's 4 miles anyway from one of the other. Well, a father come in from the his horses. There was a bullet. Choked. Ever see an animal choked?
Yes, yes, it's terrible.
Yeah?
Very terrible.
And, well, he couldn't do anything himself. He jumped in back of one of the horses and set off full gallop. Father set off and was back again. And he landed at Ballabeg, where he came from, right? He landed at Ballabeg just as William Coley. No, not just as I'm found, it's a slight mistake. Just William was already there and had taken out the boy's throat, and two dogs, Jack and Jill, came round the corner of the building where Tom came back. And William said, "Oh, well, you didn't catch him at all." Now, the thing is that he could change himself into a hare.
Oh.
You reckon? Now then, I don't know.
Well, his father was supposed to have been shot as a hare.
William Cowler's father?
Yeah. The manservant was out plowing. And he was coming and sitting on the hedge as a hare. So it was a watch, so he was working. And bronze there and took the gun with him, but it had to be silver.
Yes.
He put a threepenny bit in the gun and shot at the hare and shot him in the hip, and the man was lame ever after.
Well, that's quite that's a story.
That's the way the story goes. But that with the animal did happen.
Did happen.
And my father used to say that every morning at 6 o'clock, the hare would come and sit on the windowsill. It was a bungalow affair, like where he was living, and come and sit on the windowsill, and he'd be tapping on the window.
Oh.
He'd wake him every morning, and as soon as my father put his feet over the side of the bed, the hare was gone.
Alarm clock. He didn't have a private plane to fly from one farm to the other, did he? He didn't have a private airplane to do.
And even as a hare, it took him a little while.
Yes.
It
wouldn't take long to go over leggy
ground. Yes. Oh, that's incredible.
Old Joe Kelly, he said that he was up on the rope with the dog, the greyhound. And the greyhound put a hare up. The undergrowth and
the
hedge.
The dog turned and came back.
Dog turned and came back with his tail between his legs.
William was sitting
on
the side of the hedge.
Did William have a reputation of being a witch?
I think it would be reasonable to say he had one, mummy.
Eh?
William had the reputation of being a bit of a
yeah.
Quack or a witch. Huh?
He had, yes.
Very nice
man to know what to talk to him.
If you
listen to yes, we could go on for hours.
Yes.
How we actually experience.